The Legends Radio Network now presents Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Webb.
The program's Lyrics and Legends. This week in the studio with me, my old friend,
Danny Ruiz.
Ruiz. I wanted to call it Ruiz.
Do it. That's proper.
Danny Ruiz. All right. From Amarillo, Texas. And so we're always sending each other texts back and forth on the phone. And he'll say, hey, your radio station screwing up in Amarillo? Or
hey, I've got somebody you need to listen to.
Or, hey, you're not playing my music enough or
have
something.
Have I sent that text?
Or every now and then he says, hey, I heard my song. So, but anyway. So, Danny, you had an open night mic up in Amarillo.
Amarillo. Recently. We're having it over at the Handlebar and Grill. And it's really a good time. I get to meet a lot of people. And I actually have the insight on a lot of times on some really good new talent. And Dave, he's been coming to my open mics for, gosh, a year and a half, 2 years now.
Yeah, something like that.
And so last open mic, Dave said, well, I'm just a frustrated surgeon who wants to be a songwriter. And I said, okay, let's make that happen then.
So we actually met Dave. You got to help me on last names because I screw these up.
McNear.
Okay.
McNear.
McNear. All right.
I always say
we met you in Amarillo at an open mic over at the Route 66 gallery over there.
Pre-COVID.
Jim Livingston. Yeah, back when things were kind of normal, I guess. And I think, did you do a song for us there?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I did that Someone Better We'll Do Tonight Again for sure.
All right. That's been so long. It seems like
it was a long
two
time
decades ago.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, it was a long time ago. We spent a year, you know.
It probably was 2019.
Judas Priest. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was a long time. And I'm glad it's over.
Yeah.
So anyway, Danny started kicking up the open mic nights, and I was like, hey, why don't you see if you can find somebody you can entice and driving down to the Legends World headquarters. So we got Dave McNear. Got to do that right.
Yeah.
In the Perfect. Studio with us tonight. How's it going, Dave?
Well, I'm pretty good. Thank all y'all right. for having me out here.
Now, you're not an Amarillo native, though, are you?
No, I grew up around Dallas area.
One of those city guys, Danny.
Yeah, big city boy, sure.
He grew up in Garland back when it was still a postage stamp.
Yeah, I remember Dallas when there was actually dirt roads between the towns, and so way back in the day. And I kind of lived all around Texas. I went to A&M for undergrad and Texas Tech for medical school, and then San Antonio for residency and surgery, and then ended up back in Amarillo in 98, came back and been there since then.
So what kind of sparked your interest in music?
I'd always been kind of interested. Growing up, mom and dad had a little bit of a record collection. Sorry, mom and dad, but we didn't share the same taste. I remember Johnny Mathis and Carpenters and so forth. And then I kind of got, when I went to A&M, my friends in high school had kind of been more rock, but I'd always sort of felt more drawn to country. And then at A&M, of course, that's, all the cowboys down there kind of really got interested in country music. There were a lot of Hank Williams Jr. I liked, and Merle. And then this was in early 80s, so Steve Earle came out and kind of blew me away. Dwight Yoakam was starting about then, and really got interested in listening to music. And personally, I took about a year of guitar and a couple years of piano when I was a kid, and just hadn't really had the fire lit. And then when I was approaching 40, was having some life changes. And so I was talking to Danny about this earlier, sort of heading into a divorce, and I always kind of wish I'd kept up with guitar, and I also kind of had these songs in my head, and I knew if I'd gotten a car wreck and killed suddenly, nothing would ever come of them. And so it was kind of a combination of all those things. I just walked into Randy's Music Mart, bought the cheapest guitar they had and a how-to book, and sort of my wife got me some lessons with a couple guys in Amarillo, and kind of went on from there. And so I started writing songs, and now that's been going on about 17 years now. So,
oh wow, 67 years old. Oh, I'm not good at math.
57.
Danny. 57. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm not good at math, Danny.
Yeah,
me either. I'm still 25.
So yeah.
Now, A&M days were, was that when Robert Earl Keen and Lyle Lovett and that bunch?
Yeah, around there. Lyle Lovett played a bar right across from my apartment one night. I thought he was kind of a weird guy at the time, and that was before. Right. I never saw Robert Earl then. I saw him years later.
But he's still weird guy.
Yeah. Lyle's a little bit. But man, I love
great music.
Yeah.
And he probably would admit it, wouldn't you think?
Oh yeah.
I think he probably would.
Well, and Robert Earl Keen, I lived in Kerrville, and he used to drop in on some of my shows when I was playing down there.
All right.
And he was pretty cool, down to earth, and I just kept thinking to myself, how did these guys live together? There was the perfect balance. It was either that or Oscar and Felix, you know. what are you going to do for us, Dave?
We need to jump in here with both feet.
Oh, we can start off with I guess might do one I did for the wife initially. There's one, my wife's name is Vicky, and she's my second marriage, and I fortunately got it right the second time. Name's Vicky. My sister always called her Miss Vicky for some reason. I never knew why. Wrote a song called Hey Miss Vicky for her. She was kind of the inspiration for it. We'll do that one.
All right, we're going to listen to this. And what's the name of this again?
Hey, Miss Vicky.
Hey, Miss Vicky. All right. I guess if we don't like it after this, we'll just get a divorce.
Yeah.
We'll be back right after this.
Dress on, your chocolate eyes, sure would like to try and make you smile. Hey, Miss Vicky, can I talk with you a while? Hey, Miss Vicky, I'd like to know what makes you laugh. Maybe I could show you a better time, get a little wild. Hey, Miss Vicky, can I walk with you a while? Hey, Miss Vicky, give me a chance. We can sit and talk, maybe dance. Might be true love, never know till you try. Hey, Miss Vicky, I'd like to be your guy.
And legends, having a good time in the studio tonight with my friend Dave McNair from Amarillo, Texas, along with Danny Ruiz. Got to roll off the tongue.
Yeah, it's got to roll off.
Got to roll off the tongue. Hey, so this has kind of been especially in the last 12 months or so, we've really done a lot of local artists from Amarillo, which has been really fun. That wasn't originally the focus, but we did do a few of those. That's where we kind of got hooked up with you.
Yeah.
How'd we get hooked up with you anyway, Danny?
I played a show with Randall King.
Oh, yeah. Here. The Turbo Fest.
The Turbo Fest. Not to be confused with Turbo. But I opened that show for him, and that's how we got to know each other.
All right. That was...
I think we became fast friends because you were winking and flirting with my girl.
Probably something like that. Just don't tell my wife.
he would sit over there next to Tracy and say, Hey Danny, I'm moving speaker cabinets. I'm like, it's okay, Gary, I don't care.
Oh man.
That's how we started this. Because I knew that Amarillo had a ton of talent, and a lot of these guys, they never get heard. You know, it's just like, I think there are little cliques that kind of hold on to things and just promote each other. I wanted to break that mentality and started trying to pursue young or even old. I don't care what age you are, if you've got
new,
a skill,
maybe.
New. If you've got a skill,
unknown
or unknown. But see, I think it's not fair. Dave has an advantage, you know, because a lot of us musicians get into the business for girls, you know. And he's like, hi, I'm Dr. Dave. Oh, hi. And now he's playing guitar and singing. I mean, that's not fair. It's just not fair.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm working on my second career. I think everybody, you know, it's nice having one career in your life, but I think it makes you more interesting if you get 2, 3, 4, 5. I think we.
Well, you and I have had some really great conversations. You were telling me on the way over about your family, what you were raised like. Tell us a little bit of that. And I know that your family listened, your mom and dad listened to Johnny Mathis and Carpenters, yeah. And my dad listened to Johnny Mathis as well. And the Christmas album makes me suicidal to this day.
Can you do a Johnny Mathis?
No. Not going to do it.
Not going to do your job.
Yeah, so mom was a Methodist minister for a long time and is now. She went back to school when we were kids, and then she actually got ordained the night I graduated high school, which is back in 82. And then she was a Methodist minister in Garland and Plano for a long time. Dad was a software guy way back in the day, worked for Texas Instruments forever and Raytheon, E-Systems.
Don't leave out that really cool part, because I geeked out when you said
that. He actually worked on one of the Apollo programs with NASA. I guess was one of the contractors with them, and did some software with that. And then, so he was a computer and math guy. And then... So that was me growing up, and then both of them retired, and they've moved out to Amarillo now a few years ago. Mom's kind of gotten back in with Polk Street Methodist Church, working with them, so a lot of people around town know her. So,
you have any siblings?
So I do. I've got an older brother that's got a doctorate in physics. He's the smart one, and he lives up in Maryland.
He's the doctor.
He lives up in Maryland, works he's a civilian but works for the Army at Aberdeen Proving Ground. And then my sister was kind of the wild child for a little while. Went back, got her GED, and has been working in construction, doing like a lot of accounting and bidding, and gotten herself worked up pretty high in the industry at this point, and pretty stable. So And that's
so,
the fam.
So what's your field of medicine?
General surgery. Do a lot of hernias, gallbladders, intestinal stuff.
So you're not a brain surgeon?
Not a brain surgeon.
He's a surgeon.
No.
Are you disappointed that he's not a brain surgeon?
Well, I'll just get the – you remember the commercial they used to have with the brain surgeons kind of operating on the guy, making his arm go up and down?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
I wonder if they really do that.
I won't tell.
Okay.
I've seen we've had some pretty interesting conversations.
I bet.
And they don't involve the medical field. Yeah. One did, and I thought.
So did you have to rearrange all your schedule to get here today?
No, I'm in private practice where I can kind of have some control over my schedule. So I just kind of had a few surgeries today. We ended up about 3 o'clock this afternoon, and jumped in the car with Danny. We drove on out here and. Now, here to play a little music.
All right. Hey, we probably ought to listen to another song.
Yeah.
One we just heard was Hey, Miss Vicky, written about your wife, Miss Vicky.
Wife.
And then what do you want to do next? Danny was talking about one called Fool's Gold. Would that be a good one?
Yeah, we can do that one. So I've gotten this is another kind of relationship song. This one is written about, seems like, you know, they say write what you know. So a lot of my songs kind of, are about drinking, referencing the Lord, and then some relationships, good or bad, or don't work. So this one is about kind of the thought that struck this just driving down the road. I don't know where it came from, but thinking about the gold in a wedding ring, where, you know, there's probably more fool's gold in the wedding rings than there is in the ground. And so this is kind of about wearing a wedding ring a little too long, maybe past the expiration date is what I always use the joke as. So,
all right, we'll listen to this. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
There's a simple gold band on my left hand that reminds me of all that's been lost. It stood for forever, at least till whenever we couldn't keep up with the cost. On the day that she left, I stood bereft. But I've come to understand, and now I know it's nothing but fool's gold I wear on my left hand. It's an unbroken ring that don't mean a thing, but I keep it. I guess it reminds me when we were happy and everything seemed to be right. Although we're apart, she still has my heart, and this ring helps me to pretend. But now nothing but fool's gold I wear on my left hand. It's nothing but fool's gold that I just can't let go. It keeps me living in the past. And sitting on this stool, I know I'm a fool for thinking she might come back. My friends say forget her, you'll find someone better. You need to get on with your life. But for better or worse, it's sometimes a curse. And in my heart, she's still my wife. So I keep holding on to a love that's all gone. I guess I'm that kind of man. But now I know it's nothing but fool's gold I wear on my left hand. Yes, now I know it's nothing but fool's gold I wear on my left hand.
And the program's Lyrics and Legends in the studio with us this week from Amarillo, Texas, Dave McNair. And
just some dude.
Yeah, just some dude. That's some good songwriting, though, isn't it, Dave?
It is. It's got some good honky-tonk in him, and man. The biggest reason I brought Dave over and wanted him to introduce his music to your audience is because right now, more than anything, levity is needed. A lot of levity. And Dave has played these songs at my open mics, and I think the world needs to hear them just because they're hilarious and they're fun. It doesn't matter what mood I'm in. Dave shows up and plays one of these songs that he's going to play here in a little bit, and it just brightens my day just because they're funny.
Right, and I think another key to that is for something to really be funny, it's kind of probably got to hit on some...
It's got to be relatable.
Yeah, we've got to be relatable, so yeah.
That's one thing that drew me to country music was, I'm really a sad song guy. I just love a good weepy, crying your beer song, but You can only do that for so long, and so if I'm writing a song, a lot of them I'll kind of end up having to put in something funny or with some levity to it, and you know, that's a lot of country / cowboy culture, you know, self-deprecation, that kind of thing, where if you can't laugh at yourself, then you're going to be the only one not laughing, basically, you know.
Right. I laugh at myself a lot.
So when you first kind of got into the writing, and I know you said you went out and bought a guitar when you were 40, like Randy's yeah. Music Mart,
uh-huh.
The cheapest guitar.
Way back in the day, yeah.
And so you had some ideas rolling around in your head on writing?
Yeah, and I'd sort of had some lyrics, but I just really had no way to put them into words or anything. You know, and I was sort of a frustrated writer at the time. You know, I thought about trying to be an author. And one other thing I told Danny, you know, I think thinking about now, I think people that are songwriters, at least for me, a songwriter's like a novelist with ADD. You know, I can't stick with one idea for all that long. I don't pay enough attention to write a book. So I just, these 3-minute songs are good. You know, they kind of get that out. But so I'd had these kind of half-written songs and no way to really do anything with them. So I learned the music, and then I took lessons from two guys, Eric Denton and Pat Pruitt. Have to give them a shout out there. And then part of what the lessons turned into was just kind of songwriting. Like Eric was the guy I was first with, and I'd sort of bring in a song I'd been working on that week to him for a weekly lesson, or he'd say, hey, why don't you write a slow song this week, we'll work on that. And so I'll kind of brought that in the next week, and he'd sort of tweak it and show me some little riffs and things to do on it. And so that's kind of got the interest going, and then I was hooked at that point, you know. So
Eric Denton's been a part of the Amarillo music scene?
He'd been there for a while. I've only been back for, I think, 9 years. And he'd been there for a while, ever since I've been there.
Yeah, he was way back in the day. He was more rock and blues. He was with a band called Tongue and Groove for a long time. And then he had one, Sticks and Stones. And then he kind of dropped out for a while. And he's actually moved out of town. He makes guitars at this point.
Oh, wow.
You know, we sort of lost contact when we were on Facebook, friends with him, but hadn't seen him for a while,
and then, right.
And Pat Pruitt had been around forever. He's kind of dropped out now. I kind of lost contact with him too.
It happens.
We're all getting older.
It happens.
He went into Randy's Music Mart because he was already a surgeon. He just wanted to see what poverty was like and bought a guitar.
Yeah.
It's overrated, Dave. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Hey, we had a. One of our interviews we did was with a guy that did a lot of street corner stuff.
Busking.
Yeah, yeah. Busking, yeah. And had a really good oilfield job making, you know, really, yeah, six figures. And then he'd go dress down and go play on the street corners in Oklahoma City or Tulsa or wherever around just to...
Yeah, I mean, oilfield guys, were making a lot of money.
Yeah. So he said he always kind of felt... Well, I thought that was pretty neat, though, kind of get the other side of it.
If I could maintain the same lifestyle, I'd get out of medicine tomorrow, you know. Unfortunately, my wife, I think I'd be moving out in the backyard.
So you could set up down on Polk Street with a with a hat or something and let people
just come throw change in there.
that's a thought.
I think we ought to go do that, you know, out there outside of Hodgetown, just go set up and just
yeah.
Play guitar on game night.
I always said my next job is going to be something I don't have to wear shoes for, and I don't have to stay sober for. In which, come to think of it, that kind of fits my job now, but might get into more trouble with that.
You think if any of your patients are listening? They may...
Oh, I know a few of his patients are listening.
Yeah, probably so.
Hey, throw another song out here, Danny.
I think you ought to do some
yeah,
or
I'll do that one.
Someone better.
Someone better. All right. Is there a little story behind this before you go?
There's two jokes I do with this one. One is I wrote this one for the ex-wife. And then the other one is I wrote this one to keep my current wife on her toes.
Hey, so, you know, you were mentioning earlier a lot of this songwriting comes out of either bad relationships. I mean, that's a common thread every time we get
somebody. Every time I introduce a song to you, Gary, I say, there was a girl.
Yeah, we've had several people. It's like, well, I was with this girl, and then and then we get a song out
I think
of
that's
it.
Just the easiest thing to say, you know, whenever you go do an interview. What was the inspiration? Well, there was a girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Unrequited Love made Nashville, Tennessee a lot of money, man, over the years.
And the 80s big hair bands, too.
Right. So we're going to listen to Someone Better, right?
Yep.
Someone better. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Stars in the sky can't match your eyes. I could lose myself in their depths. And the electricity when you kiss me, I live for the touch of your lips. I never thought I could love this much. If you've got a match, I ain't met her. It's easy to see you're the soulmate for me, at least till I meet someone better. You're beautiful, funny, and smart. You really captured my heart. You're perfect for me. I love you forever, at least till I meet someone better. You're my other half. You make my life complete. My search is over. You're my perfect lover, from your head right down to your feet. I love you always and every day. I'll compose for you love letters. You're my dream girl. You're my whole world. At least till I meet someone better. You're beautiful, funny, and smart. You really captured my heart. You're perfect for me. I love you forever. At least till I meet someone better. At least till I meet someone better. I never should have met your sister.
All right, in the studio with us, Dave McNair, Danny Ruiz. That was Someone Better. That was a great song. I hear that and I'm thinking it's got a little bit of John Prine, a little bit of Roger Miller vein going and along
the,
there.
The Waylon Jennings waltz.
yeah, a little bit of a 3/4 time waltz going on. But yeah, great. Great song, right? Yeah, that was fun.
So. Thank you.
He's got several that I've heard him play that just make me.
I'd actually heard that one before when we were.
Oh, wait till you hear
that one. Yeah. The other time, way back.
Yeah. I think we ought to save "Living with Crazy" till the very end, just because that one is just.
Okay.
All right, so everybody's going to have to hang on.
Yeah, they're going to have to wait till the end of the show to catch the meat and potatoes of this one.
You know, we had another program on. This is a funny story since we're doing funny stories, but. We had another program on, and this guy calls in. Apparently, he didn't like the other program because he called in and said, "This is just ridiculous," and goes on for like 3 minutes. And he'll probably be listening, so he'll know I'm calling him out on the radio. But goes on for like 3 minutes about how we need to just get back to playing traditional country music yada, yada, yada. And but Jim was looking at the voicemails, and he noticed that the guy called in 40 minutes into the program, so he had listened to 40 minutes of what he hated before he anyway, you think he'll know who we're talking about?
Holy cow. Friend of yours?
No, never met him. He'll probably keep calling.
So. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm hoping he's having a good day. I mean, smile, dude.
Yeah.
So if we get any voicemails about this program, we'll be sure and pass them on.
Good
those or bad.
Be great. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah. So. Was that after my show?
No, it wasn't. It was, okay. It wasn't on a Lyrics and Legends either. It was another program we had on. So, yeah. Anyway.
Feedback's always welcome.
That's right.
Bless their
Anybody
heart.
Ever like, man, you really screwed that surgery up, Doc?
Yeah, sure.
I've got no belly button anymore. What happened? Or what? So in the studio with us, Dr. Dave. Is that what
Dr. Dave?
What he's known with your truer name?
Maybe that's in negotiations.
No, okay, you have to work with
negotiations. No, it's not. I think Dr. John was taken by the blues man.
Dr.
Feelgood.
All right, in the studio from Amarillo, Texas, Dave McNair, and we're having fun, kind of learning a little bit about your background and getting into this music thing. writing songs is something that's really, I think you can develop it, but you got to have a little bit of a knack to get that to come out.
You got to have a knack. You've got to have some heartbreak. You've got to have some funny situations, and you've got to be relatable to a lot of people, because anybody can write a poem, but not everybody likes poetry, you know. And what we're doing is putting it to music, and Dave's captured that, I believe, and he's got it. He's got the songwriting down perfectly. He writes songs that are relatable, and like that one, if you can't relate to that,
right.
Even you, either you know somebody or you are that somebody.
Yeah. Sometimes if you can't relate to it, you may be the person that's all written about.
That's about, yeah.
So go back and you talked about learning to play, the guys that taught you and helped you develop your songwriting and your guitar playing, and then some point you go, I want to step out and do this in front of a crowd. Talk about when that happened, why, and what pushed you.
There was alcohol involved, as a matter of fact. Early on, I never saw myself actually playing and singing. I love live music and always have. You know, I walk into a restaurant, I think it always adds something to an outdoor experience. If you're eating dinner or anything, just I think live music adds a lot, but I never saw myself really doing it. When I got the guitar, I said it was just sort of, I had this stuff in my head, I wanted to get down and play, and then as we went on, I actually met a guy that used to work for Bob Wills, a guy named Barry Doss. He's died a while ago. He was actually a patient at the VA. He was a marketing guy for Bob Wills, and we sort of started talking music when I was taking care of him. And I said, and the plan was going to be just write whatever songs I had and give them to some garage band or any, you know, local bands that were looking for material or something. He's, no, you got to do your own songs, man. I'm telling you, nobody's going to put the emotion into it that you would. And then he started asking me about my car, and I have a CRV. And, oh, it's a great touring car, man. You put your equipment in there when you're going around. And it was like he wanted to book dates for me and all that. So, I was like, whoa, hold on, man. And but then that kind of got the idea in my head. And he lived in Melrose, New Mexico. And I actually went out there and recorded a couple songs at his little studio he had out there. So that sort of got the idea in my head. And then the other thing holding me back was just not that feeling of I'm not quite good enough, you know, and that was probably the big hurdle for me to overcome was I realized you got to quit worrying that you're never going to be, quote, good enough. You know, you just get out and do it, and then people throw stuff at you if you suck that bad. And so I finally just kind of got brave enough to get out and give it a try, and it's kind of gone from there. And that's probably been 6-7 years maybe I've been playing. I've done some of my own gigs around town too. I played Fire Slice a couple times. Macaroni Joe's has been a big thing. They let me take over the patio every Tuesday for a couple of summers, and then Joe Taco has let me play there, and a couple other places. Lone Star Barn Grill, I have to give a shout out on South Town. So, and then I started hitting a lot of the open mics, and especially with COVID shutting stuff down, it's been I sort of quit hustling my own gigs now for a while, just because the open mics will kind of scratch the itch, and it's a lot less work for me just to get up and play for 20-30 minutes at somebody else's open mic, and I don't have to pick up all the equipment and everything. So it's been nice.
I like
Thanks,
it,
Danny.
No problem.
Yeah, that's one thing we always come back to on here too, is like people show up at a restaurant or a bar or whatever to hear music, and they don't realize everything that went into it just to get up to that point where you're going to actually hear the live music.
There's the hour and a half loading and unloading to into the venue, and then setting everything up, which is another hour and a half, or half hour at least. Even if it's just a small, you're still going to spend hour and a half setting up and then play your show, and at the end of the night you've got the hour and a half load up, roll out, and then go home and put it in storage again. So by the time you're completely done, you've probably got a full day's worth of work.
And when you live in Wheeler and you have to to travel an hour, or
I mean, you live an hour from everything.
Right.
I mean, I know, I love where you live.
You've played Mobedi a few times.
I've played Mobedi a few times out there with Frank.
Big Mobedi Open.
Yeah, it's fun though.
Yeah.
It is fun. It's different, but it's fun.
Yeah.
I always enjoy it every time we get called out there, and folks seem to enjoy the music. And every time I'm there, I either end up giving away more CDs or selling more CDs. So it's always a pretty good deal. And Frank always gets the first of my music just because he's been such a loyal fan
right.
following
you
it.
You guys actually met at the Turbo Fest, too, I
yeah.
think. You know, Doc, the encouraging thing is, you know, we had Randall King come to Shamrock, Texas. And
put on a great show.
Put on a really great show.
All right.
And drove all the way from Austin, set up his stuff, played, and had five people show up.
Yeah. Yeah,
no need in getting discouraged.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, no need to get discouraged. It does get worse.
Yeah, if you think it's bad now, you know.
Wait till you're paying people to come see you.
Yeah.
So you kind of got hooked up on the playing the local venues and then doing some of the open mic stuff. And
yeah.
Did any new songs come out of that?
Oh, there's a few in the works here. I've always got three or four kind of up in the air.
We want to get another one in here. What do you think, Danny? Are we picking or are we going to? Oh, we're good.
We're good. Yeah. I don't know what his list says over there.
Or you want to try to do a drinking song? I got my good buddy Jack.
Your good
that's
buddy
one of the
Jack.
Early ones
that's,
I did.
Well, that's what.
Get that in. That's my daughter's
favorite
song.
The song that.
Oh, this is your daughter's favorite song?
Yeah.
Well, we got to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So talk about this just a little bit.
Yeah, so it's this is actually one of the ones pretty early I wrote. This was a song back when I was taking lessons from Eric. He said kind of write a slow song. So I came back with this one the next week. And it was sort of, you know, when you're looking for inspiration, this is actually about Jack Daniels. So I was actually kind of just sitting strumming on the guitar and had a little glass of Jack Daniels there and sort of led to this. And that's the story. It's about a long-term friendship, I guess you'd call it.
All right, we'll listen to this.
Relationship also.
We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Good buddy Jack never looks down on me through thick and through thin. He's right where I need him to be. We'll meet at my place or down at the bar. Sometimes I'll take him for a spinning my car. He's my good buddy Jack, Jack Daniels from Tennessee. My good buddy Jack helps me to believe I'm the life of the party. I'm just too I wanna be. When he is around, I'm walking on air. I got no more worries, I haven't a care. He's my good buddy Jack, Jack Daniels from Tennessee. Good buddy Jack never has a bad word to say. He brings me good cheer all through the night and the day. When I'm feeling down, he gives me a lift. I'm never good buddy Jack, Jack Daniels from Tennessee. My good buddy Jack never gets tired of me. My good buddy Jack from Lynchburg, Tennessee.
The program is Lyrics and Legends. In the studio with me, Dave McNair from Amarillo, Texas. I've got my tongue all tangled up and can't do anything with it. Danny Ruiz.
It's that sobriety thing, I'm telling you. And, how are you functioning right now?
How's that working for you? So the song we just listened to was...
My Good Buddy Jack.
My Good Buddy Jack.
Senility, too.
Yeah. We're having fun doing this, and it's always fun to try to get in the head of a songwriter and see where these things come from.
Now, the next song, I want to know what the inspiration for that one is.
We'll do My Ugly Dog next. Yeah. That one was actually, so my wife had this dog, Spike, that lived.
First or second?
Second one.
Okay.
So,
dog or wife?
Second wife, first dog between us.
This is why nobody comes to visit here.
So when we got married, she had this dog, Spike, that had lived 20 years. And he lived probably about 4 years, I guess, after we'd gotten together, 5 years in maybe. So, but he'd been with her forever, and nobody could believe the dog lived that long. And so he ended up dying, of course, and then... I wanted a dog because I hadn't owned one. I'd always kind of grown up with dogs, and so she didn't want a dog because she couldn't stand the heartache of losing one. And I wanted a dog, and she couldn't stand getting another dog. I wanted a dog, and so we went kind of ran and ran for a while. And finally I said, well, okay, we'll compromise. Let's get a dog, but we'll make it an ugly one. That way you won't care when he dies. So the song's called My Ugly Dog.
We're going to listen to My Ugly Dog, and we'll be back in just a few minutes and try to straighten this thing up a little bit.
I like the way you're always happy to see me. I like the way whole body wags when you're happy. And I like the joy you get from just chewing a bone. And I'm glad that you're ugly, so I won't miss you when you're gone. It's a good thing you're ugly, so I won't miss you when you pass. With a good looking dog, I might get too attached. Now don't get me wrong, I think you're a really good dog, but it's a good thing you're ugly, so I won't miss you when you're gone. You were cute as a puppy, but then again, all babies are. The way you are now, you look like you've been chasing parked cars. You're a really good dog. Sorry if this song sounds mean. sometimes it's hard for me to tell which end to feed. It's a good thing you're ugly, so I won't miss you when you pass. With a good-looking dog, I might get too attached. Now don't get me wrong, I think you're a really good dog. Good thing you're ugly, so I won't miss you when you're gone. And I like the way you chase all the squirrels in the yard, and the way you hang out the window when we ride in my car. Ready to play, and you're always there waiting when I come home from a long day. But it's a good thing you're ugly, so I won't miss you when you pass. With a good-looking dog, I might get too attached. Now don't get me wrong, I think you're a really good dog. But it's a good thing you're ugly, so I won't miss you when you're gone. It's a good thing you're ugly, just break my heart when you go.
My Ugly Dog by Dr. Dave. Dr. Dave McNear. You know, we were throwing all those Dr. John and Dr. Hook and
Dr. J.
And I think we left out Dr. Demento, I think so.
After that one. That might qualify.
Well, you know, that could be a breakup song or a love song or, you know, a dog.
Yeah, I wrote, and I actually, it's never been recorded. The very next song I wrote, I had to adapt that one to a woman. So I'll play that for you sometime. I probably shouldn't play that one on the air, but let's see.
Well, you wouldn't play it at one of your shows, maybe? Or
I ain't played it at one of mine.
Okay, so anyway, which is probably going to bring us to our Department of Shameless Plugs, which we didn't throw out there, but you get to talk about if people want to follow Dr. Dave McNear, find out where you're playing, or
I usually put it on Facebook, just under Dave McNear, my Facebook page, and then I'll try to do little announcements around the hospital too, and usually have a bunch of nurses show up, which isn't always a great thing, but usually no.
Do you have like a punch card though for your patients, like
$50 off a hernia?
You go to 7 shows, you get $50 off your hernia.
You gotta be making those commercials like those ambulance chasing lawyers.
Yeah, hadn't thought of that. That's good marketing.
See, you need people like Danny behind you to think of all this.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I do.
Bring me along in the business, man.
Danny, we got time for probably one more song.
Song, and you wrote this one. This was a co-write.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine, Tom Speck, up in Groover. Hey, Tom. This was one of those songs that took maybe 20 minutes to write.
Let's back up, though, because Tom deserves more than just a little bitty shout-out.
Sure.
Right, Tom, sure. I honestly thought Larry Mahan was coming to my open mic when I saw him.
Really?
Tom is a cowboy through and through, traditional sense. And
how did you guys get connected?
He's an interesting guy. We met, I actually operated on him, and he lived. sort of started, he plays guitar too, I found out, and someone, when he was in the hospital, someone, I don't know who it was, sent him a video of me out playing at a gig, and so he said, hey, you play guitar, I do too, and so we sort of bonded, and I'd after he got out of the hospital, we've kept in touch. And then he's an interesting guy. His dad was a veterinarian forever, and then he lives in Groover. He's a rancher, so everybody around Groover knows him. But he's sort of got in another shameless plug. He built himself a music venue in Groover because there's not much else to do there, called the Barn on Broadway. You're welcome, Tom. And so feel free to call him and book. So we'll text each other song ideas and things like that for a while. But Tom is definitely a cowboy, has been that way forever, and that's who he is. He's got the soul of a poet and good writer, and loves music too.
All right.
Great writer.
So what are we going to hear, Danny?
Living with Crazy, one of the funniest songs I think I've ever heard, because I think I was married to that woman at some point.
Yeah. This one, like I said, got the inspiration leaving the hospital. It just sort of hit me, and then I texted Tom the song idea, and then I live like 15, 20 minutes away from the hospital. I had to pull over 3 times to text him a new verse. It just was one of those that just kind of flowed after you had the idea set, and so I could tell you exactly the date and time because it's back on our text when it was written. And so I had the 3 verses written by the time I got home, and then he kind of did the chorus and the bridge with it, and it's one of those ones that just kind of came together.
All right, we're going to listen to this, and we'll be back to wrap it up on Lyrics and Legends.
I came home from work, the cops were all over my house. My girlfriend's in cuffs, cussing all of them out. I stood there speechless, unsure just what to do. But living with crazy is better than lonely and blue. Living with crazy is better than lonely and blue. I feel I'm coming unglued. One thing in life I have found to be true. Living with crazy is better than lonely and blue. The cops hauled her off to spend the night in the jail. Sold my guitar to try to cover her bail. I guess all of this might seem pretty messed up to you, but living with crazy is better than lonely and blue. Living with crazy is better. All those nights alone. She makes me feel like no other woman can do. So living with crazy is better than lonely and blue. Living with crazy is better than lonely and blue. Although there's times I feel just like a fool.
The program's Lyrics and Legends. Man, we've had a good time tonight. Danny Ruiz from Amarillo, Texas, came down and brought a good friend, Dr. Dave.
Dr. Dave McNair.
And we've really had a good time. A few of those songs I'm listening to, I'm thinking, I wonder what's going through this guy's head while he's operating on somebody. And then this thing. And I'm like, I don't want to know.
I actually said, you're writing these songs while you're operating on people. Have you ever left anything in anybody?
I'm sure he's got people to.
Well, they have people that have to count everything.
Yeah, count the sponges or whatever.
Yeah. And I, to answer the question, kind of, I'd listen to a mix, a lot of country and Texas country and rock. I'd like to have a little music going when I'm operating. I always did better when there's a little background music. So.
Well, Dr. Dave, thanks for coming down. We really appreciate you. Danny, thanks for hooking us up with another good one.
It's always fun to bring these guys over here to you.
Appreciate it. I had a heck of a time. Appreciate y'all having us out here.
All right. We'll look forward to seeing you guys again real soon.
Oh, yeah.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with Gary Ware. Join us next time on the Legends Radio Network.